All right, so good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Nun Hey. We left off in the last line of Nun Dalit on the base. So the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah. Notales Adam Mimishim and Marius. So if you remember again, the Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol takes the blood from the person who was stirring it. And remember, the stirring of the blood took place so as to prevent the blood from congealing. So he would take it from the person who was stirring the blood, and he would then go ahead and he would sprinkle it. But if you remember again, the Mishnah explained that he didn't sprinkle it in the conventional sense like we think, but rather the Mishnah said, Ella Kimatzlif. So the Gemara says, my kimatzlif, what does that mean that he was kimatzlif? Machli Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda demonstrated this process, top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph, kiminagda, as one who administers lashes. Look at Rashi. Kiminagda, kimaki beritzua, like one who administers lashes with a whip. Shemaschil minak safayim umake v'holich lamata, that a person goes out and begins from high and then comes down. It's like if when you whip something, see, you don't actually have to bring your hand down the whole way, but rather, again, less, you kind of like flick. It's the only English term I can think of it, to flick. So the Kohen Gadol would go ahead and would do the sprinklings. See, he would flick his finger. He would flick his finger, and that would cause the blood to go. So the Gemara says, Tana, kishu maze. Now, another very interesting idea. It's always bothered me, always in this topic of the sprinklings. So the Gemara says, kishu maze, when he would go ahead and do the sprinkling, eno maze ala kapores, he would not go ahead and sprinkle directly on the lid of the aron itself. Ella kineged ovya shel kapores. Rather, he would sprinkle the blood literally opposite or corresponding to the thickness of the lid. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Eino maze ala kapores al gaga ella kineged ovya. It's always bothered me when they speak about the sprinkling on the aron, the thought of actually putting blood on the aron. So the Gemara says, you're right, they did not put blood on the aron. What did the Kohen do? The Kohen sprinkled opposite the aron. Opposite the aron. So he would, literally, they call it opposite the thickness. Opposite the lid of the aron. But we'll see in just a moment, the blood actually landed on the floor. So the Gemara says, Kishu maze lemala. Furthermore, when he would go ahead, and the other thing the Mishnah spoke about was that there was one application lemala above, seven applications below. So the Gemara says, Kishu maze lemala, when he would go ahead and apply the blood above, mitzadid yado lemata. So it says, very interesting, when he would do the application lemala, his palm would be extended upwards, and his the back of his hand extended downwards. So lamala literally means that he would go like this. He'd go like this. That's lamala. It's my physical demonstration. Lamala. I will show you a picture, but this is even better. Right. So you go lamala. Lekishumaza lamata. When he would do the applications below, mitzadid yodo lamala, the palm of his hand was then extended downwards. He would flick his finger downwards. So just a question of if flicking your finger upwards or flicking your finger downwards. Okay. Minahani mili. How do we know? So we'll say, interestingly enough, already in the first 3 minutes of Daf Yomi, we have three very important pieces of halacha. First of all, now, how did the Kohen Gadol do the sprinkling? So, you know, when we think about sprinkling, we think about like this. In reality, he was more like flicking his hand. That's number one. Number two is that the blood was not applied on the aron itself. By the way, I say the aron because there are other blood applications, like by the Mizbeach, where the blood was actually put on the Mizbeach itself. But as far as the aron goes, even though the wording of the Mishnah seems to indicate that he's putting the blood, he's sprinkling the blood on the aron, no, not really on the aron, rather opposite the aron, and it's actually going to fall on the ground. And number three, when he would sprinkle, so to speak, lemala, his palm would be extended upwards. And when he would sprinkle lemato, his palm would be extended downwards. Says the Gemara, Menahani Mili, how do we know this? Now look at Rashi. Menahani Mili, the Gemara is asking, De eno maze ala kapores osan shtaim achas shalmala bepar va'achas shalmala besar agag kapores mamish. How do we know, like we just said before, that when he sprinkles the blood, he's not literally sprinkling the blood on the aron itself? but is rather sprinkling it on the area opposite the Aron. And so in essence, the blood is landing on the ground. Amar Rav Acher by Yaakov, Amar Rav Yizera, Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, V'hiza oso ala kapores, v'lifnei kapores. Because the Torah says that he will sprinkle the blood of Osa. This is actually talking about the dam. V'shachat es si'ir achatas asher la'ab. He will shech the si'ir, I'm reading to the Pasuk in its entirety. V'hevi es damo amibis la'parochas. He will go ahead and bring the dam to the parochas, or I should say with inside the parochas. V'asa es damo ka'asher asa le'dam hapar. And he will go ahead and do with its blood, the blood of the soyer, that which he did with the blood of the par, v'hiza oso ala kapores v'lifnei kapores, and he will sprinkle it literally on the lid and before the lid. So the Gemara says, v'hiza oso ala kapores v'lifnei kapores lo yomar lemata b'soyer. The truth is, you don't have to go ahead and you don't have to teach lemata. You don't have to go ahead and teach v'hiza oso ala kapores v'lifnei kapores by the soyer. Why? So the Gemara says, "Lo yomar lemata b'sard lo tzarich digamar mimata depar." Well, so what the Gemara points out is that the Torah did not need to repeat this phrase, "V'hizo so ala kaporis v'lifnei kaporis," by the dam hasoyer, by the dam of the goat. Why? Because the Torah already told me this by the dam of the par, by the dam of the blood. Excuse me, by the dam of the ox. And remember, the Torah explicitly says that you will treat the dam of the soyer in the same way that you treat the dam apar. In this case, this whole last phrase of v'hiza oso ala kaporos lifnei kaporos is extra. So lama ne'emar, why? So why is it here? So the Gemara says la'akushe, it's come to teach you an analogy. Al lelifnei, it's coming to equate these two phrases of al on to lifnei before. Ma lifnei delav al. Just like Rabbi said, when the Torah says that you will sprinkle before the Mizbeach, before the Aron. That means before means literally before, but not on. So too, af al delav al. So too, even when it says on the Kapores, even when it says on the lid of the Aron, it does not literally mean on. Okay, so that's what the Gemara will say. What the Gemara is trying to figure out is, the Gemara made a statement before, that when the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood on the Aron, it doesn't literally mean on the Aron, it means before the Aron. Now the Gemara is saying, very nice, where do you know that from? The Gemara is essentially answering that there is a whole phrase by the Soyer that is extraneous. The Zo'o So Ala Kapores, V'lifnei Kapores. He will sprinkle it literally on the lid, on the lid of the Aron and before the lid of the Aron. So Mar says, why do I need this phrase at all? It's extraneous. I would have learned this out from the par, because the Torah tells me whatever you do, whatever you did to the par, do to the soyer. Why does this phrase come? What does this phrase come to teach? The Gemara is positing right now that it comes to equate al to lifnei. Meaning what? Just like lifnei doesn't mean al. Now what does that mean? Just like lifnei clearly means what? Before, but not on the Aron itself. So to al doesn't also literally also means not on the Aron, but literally before the Aron. We'll see the two wordings will be necessary because one refers to lemalo, one refers to lemata. So the Gemara is suggesting this is where we know that the Kohen Gadol doesn't apply the blood directly to the lid of the Aron itself, but rather before. So Gemara says, Adrama, I don't know, I can make just the opposite Rasha. Adrama, lo yomar lemala bepar, de lo tzarech de gomer mimala de sayer. I would say the following: let the Torah not state lemalo, the upper application by the par, which Rava says we're assuming right now means ala kapores. That's lemalo. So don't say that phrase by the par, and you can learn out the gomer mimalo de soyer and learn out malo from the soyer. Lama ne'emar ay. So why was it stated? Why was al by the par stated? La'akushe lifnei la'al, to go ahead and equate lifnei ta'al. We'll say, remember, lifnei ultimately is what the Gemara is referring to as lemato. Al is what the Gemara is referring to as lemalo. So the Gemara says, what's the equation? Ma'al al mamish. Just like al means al mamish. What does that mean? Just like, remember, we'll say, the Gemara is just positing an opposite drasha. Just like al could actually mean on the kaporos itself. Therefore, af lifnei al mamish. Maybe lifnei ultimately means on top of the kaporos as well. So the Gemara says, "Hi, Mai. So how would you understand this? What do we do with this? E Amr to both say Yud Nun Hey Amud Aleph right across from where it says Tosfos Mipnei. So the Gemara says, "Hi Mai, what are we to do with this?" E Amr Bishlama Lemato Disoir LaAkushe. So if you say that the Lemato of Soir is coming to serve as the analogy, then we'll say the following: Lemalo Depar Miboyle Kidisanyo. So then ultimately, I will need the Lemalo. Both say, remember again, don't lose. Keep your eye on the ball on this. Here's what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to figure out, the Gemara made a statement before, that when the Kohen Gadol applies the blood, what appears to be the blood applications on the Aron are in fact not blood applications on the Aron at all, but rather what? Blood applications before the Aron. Before the Aron. The Gemara is suggesting, where do we know that from? So the Gemara's original Havamina is, because remember, also we have two blood applications. The blood application of the Par, blood application of the Soyer. When it comes to the blood application of the Soyer, what does the Torah say? What does the Torah say? Do with it what? Exactly as you did with the par. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, then there is an extra phrase of v'hizo'o so ala kaporas lifnei kaporas. The Gemara was originally suggesting that, oh, what does that come to teach me? That just like lifnei, doesn't mean what? Doesn't mean on, doesn't mean al, so too, al doesn't mean al. Normally, such a drush like that would sound a little bit strange, but the truth is, over here, we can actually do it. Why? Because the Maaseh, it's a totally extra phrase. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara now suggested, there's a Havamina of the Gemara, well, I could dash in the phrase just the opposite, by the way. So now the Gemara says, hi, Maaseh, so what do we do with all this? So the Gemara says, I'm Yamat Bishlama Lemata de Sar Lakushe. So if you say that the Lemata of Soyer comes to serve as the analogy, I'll also remember the Lemata refers to the phrase of Lifnei HaKapores. If that is coming to serve as the source of the drasha, to say that just like Lifnei doesn't mean Al, so too Al doesn't mean Al, then Lamala Depar Miboyle. Then ultimately the Lamala of the Par, which Rabbi Yosef means the Ala Kapores of the Par, is necessary. While the Chiddush Tana debate Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Tana debate Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov the following. Al Pnei HaKapores Kedma, Rabbi Yosef says to this, the Torah says, that you shall go ahead and apply the blood. Just you understand that the pasuk in its entirety reads, "V'lakach midam hapar." You will take the blood of the par. V'hizabe etzba'o al pnei hakapores kedma, and you will go ahead and apply it literally on top of the kapores, on top of literally the arm kedma. So we'll say kedma. Kedma literally means east. Kedem is east, but the Gemara understands kedem, right? Kedma also means in front. Also means in front. Because remember, Rabbi Yosef is actually very interesting. Remember, where was the blood application? Remember, we spoke about this before. How was the Aron positioned in the Beis HaMikdash? How's your Aron positioned?
On the west, east right? to west.
So remember, again, correct, on the east to west axis. Mm-hmm. Remember, again, the Aron, the poles of the Aron were pointing in a west. I mean, they were going east to west. So the Aron, the poles themselves, we saw yesterday that the poles extended out. They pushed into the curtain itself. So they extended eastward. We call that the front. That's called the front of the Aron. Mm-hmm. So the blood application says the Gemara apneakap. See, what's interesting is when you learn this Gemara, you actually begin. It's amazing. Sometimes this is a very like yeshiva oriented mentality. Why do we learn Gemara? In order to understand Chumash, right? I'm saying that's how we learn Gemara. Right? So where else are you going to see Parshas Achrei? Most unless you learn Parshas Yuma. So it's Chumash Maseches Yuma. Sorry. So the idea over here is when the Torah says you shall apply the blood on the eastern front of the Aron. Now I actually understand what that means, because now I know how the Aron is positioned, and now I know exactly. Remember, where is the Kohen Gadol doing the blood application? Where? In between the two poles. Everything happens in between the two poles. The Ketores happens in between the two poles. The Dama Par, the Dama Sar, everything in between the two poles. So the Gemara says, Ze Bona Av. Rosh said, this is what we call the Binyan Av. Binyan Av essentially is what we call a halachic paradigm. Mm-hmm. Binyan Av means that we see something that occurs in one particular situation, and we create from that the paradigm for all subsequent situations. So Ze Bona Av, that's the Binyan Av. Whenever the Torah says Pnei, Eino Ela Kodim, that always refers to the front. Elo, I Amrit Lemala Depar, La Akushe, Lemato Disoyer, Lemai Osa. But Rabbi says, now what the Gemara is suggesting is, if you go with our original position, that ultimately we're going to use the phrase of Vihizo So, Halakaporis of Nehakaporis by the Sawyer to teach me this halacha that just like al, excuse me, that just like lifnei doesn't mean al, so to al doesn't mean al, then all the drushes line up beautifully. However, I amrit lemalo de par laakushe, ultimately, but if you're going to tell me, like we suggested the second time around, that no, I'm going to use the lemala alakaporis of par for the analogy purposes, then lemata de soyer lemai also, then what does the lemata, what does the lifnei kaporis of soyer come to teach us? So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbana. So we'll say again. So the way the Gemara ends off over here is pretty much going with our original drasha. That how do we know that the Kohen Gadol applies the blood before the Kapores and not on the Kapores? From the extra phrase, Bab the Sotir, Vihizo so ala Kapores, the Lifnea Kapores. Just like Lifnei doesn't mean Al, so too Al doesn't mean Al. Tan Rabbana. Vihizo so ala Kapores, Lifnea Kapores. Torah says you shall sprinkle it literally on the kapores and before the kapores. Lamanu kama lemala b'soyer. Lamanu kama lemala b'soyer. So how many blood applications take place lemala for the soyer? Achos, one blood application. Lemata b'soyer eni odea. But interestingly enough, I don't know how many blood applications below. Meaning, I will say what the Gemara is pointing out over here is the pasuk says like this: "V'hizo so ala kaporis if ne'a kaporis." So you will go ahead and literally sprinkle it once lemalo. What that means is lifnei kaporis ultimately means, excuse me, ala kaporis. The most basic definition of ala kaporis is one. So from the pasuk itself, I could tell that there would be one sprinkling. What about lemata? What about lemata? What about lifnei kaporis? How many sprinklings is lemata comprised of? So the Gemara says, "Eini odea, eini odea kama, harini dan." But now I can learn this out. How can I learn that first wide line? Ne'emru damim lemata bepar, ve'ne'emru damim lemata besoyer. It says damim lemata bepar. It says damim by again the lifnei by par, and it says ve'ne'emru damim lemata besoyer, and it says damim lemata by the soyer as well. Ma lemata bepar sheva, just like Rabbi say lemata bepar, the ultimately, which again, remember, lemata always is the phrase lifnei kaporis. Just like lemata by par refers to seven sprinklings, af lemata besoir sheva, so to lemata by soir also must mean seven sprinklings. So Gemara says, okay lech lederach zu, Rabbi say literally means, or you could put your utensils on this road, which is another way of saying we could go in another direction. Or we can go in this direction. Ne'emru damim lemala b'soyer, v'ne'emru damim lemata b'soyer. It says damim by the sprinkling above by the soyer, and it says damim, bloods. It says blood, plural, by the sprinkling of the soyer above, lemala ala kapores, and it says damim lemata b'soyer. So I'd say maybe just like this one sprinkling above the soyer, so to below there'll be one sprinkling as well. So what's what Gemara is pointing out over here is, interestingly enough, there are two ways you can learn this out. You could either learn it out by comparing soyer to par, or you could learn it out by comparing soyer to itself. So the Gemara says, Nira lemi dome donin. So the Gemara says it would appear that we would try to equate it with that which is most similar. Donin mata mimata, vein donin mata mimalo. I will say, if we are trying to go ahead and figure out how many sprinklings take place lemata of the blood of the soyer, it would make sense what? To learn that out from another case of mata, as opposed to what? Learning out a case of mata from a sprinkling lemala. The Gemara says, "Adarabo." I can argue just the opposite. Donin gufo mi gufo, ve'in donin gufo mi malo. I might as well say just the opposite. That's what? I'd rather learn out sotir from sotir than learn out sotir from par. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, "Va'asa es damo kasher asa ledam hapar." Therefore, I will say, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk clears up all ambiguity by saying, "You shall do to the blood of the soyer exactly as you did to the dam apar." She'en Talmud Lomar ka'asher asa. The pasuk did not need to say the phrase ka'asher asa. Uma Talmud Lomar ka'asher asa. I mean, the pasuk could have read just fine without that phrase. Aye, so why does it say it? She'yihi yukol asiyosav shavos. It's teaching me that all of the applications of the blood of the soyer should be exactly equal and the same to the applications of the blood of the par. Kishem shalemata bepar sheva, just as there are seven applications of blood of the par lamato, kach lamata b'sot yosheva, lamadnu kama lamata b'par u'b'sot yosheva. So we'll say, now we've learned, how many blood applications are there by the par and the sot seven? Lamala b'par eni yodea. So we'll say, now the Gemara changes gears. Okay, so now what we've established is what? We've established that there's one blood application for lamala by soyer and seven blood applications by the soyer lamata. The one by soyer we learn out because it says it by soyer. The seven by soyer lamata by soyer we learn out from where? We learn from par. So now we'll say the Gemara changes course. By par, I know that there are shiva lamata. How do I know that there's only one lamala? So the Gemara says vaharini dan. I will learn it out. I will say the Gemara is going to repeat pretty much the same thing, but just this time switching gears. Now we're focusing on learning out the one blood application lamala of the par. Barini dan ne'emru damim lamala b'soir the ne'emru damim lamala b'par. It says the word damim. It says damim by sar and it says damim by par. And both of those are referring to the blood application lamala. Lamala b'soir achos. Just like the blood application above by soir is one blood application. Af lamala b'par achos. So too the blood application of the par is also one lamala. Oh, so we'll say, so the first approach is, we'll learn out of the blood application lamala of the par from the blood application lamala of the soyer. Just like by soyer it's one, so too by par it's one. Okay, lech l'derech zu. On the other hand, I can advance another drasha. Ne'emru damim lamata bipar. It says damim lamata by par, which I will say we know means seven. Ve'ne'emru damim lamala bipar. And it says damim lamala bipar. Malamata bipar sheva, just like the blood applications below for the par are seven, af lamala bipar sheva, so too again the applications lamala should also be sheva, should also be seven. So the Gemara says, so we'll say, so again, two different ways of learning out the blood applications lamala of par. If you compare it to soyer, then what does that yield you? One. Tells you that just like, again, just like the soyer has one blood application lamala, so to par will have one blood application lamala. On the other hand, what can you do? You could compare it to the blood applications of the par itself, lamato. And just like lamata, how many are there? Seven. So to lamala, there'll be seven. So the Gemara says, same thing, nir lamidome, done it. So what should we do? It would appear that we should equate this with what that which is most similar. Donin mala mimala, vein donin mala mimato. So what I would say is, I would learn out sprinkling from above. From sprinkling on above, meaning so I'd rather learn out, right, mala mala from par to soyer, or from soyer to par, ve'ein done in mala mimato, but to compare the blood applications that are done lamala to the blood applications that are done lamato doesn't make much sense. Whereas I could argue just the opposite, adarabach, or just the opposite, done in gufo mi gufo, ve'ein done in gufo mi mala. I would say, you know what, I could argue just the opposite, that it's better to learn out what? Par from par than it is to learn out par from soyer. So the Torah itself answers this question. Tamal Omar, va'asa es damo kasher asa. She'in Tamal Omar kasher asa. The Torah did not need to add in that phrase kasher asa as was done. Ma Tamal Omar kasher asa. So why does it include kasher asa? She'yihi yukol asiyosav shavos. It comes to teaching Rabosai that the blood applications of the par and the soyer are identical in every single way. Kishem shalamata bipar sheva, just like again there are seven applications of blood below for the par, kach lamata b'soyer sheva, so too ultimately there are seven applications lamata by the soyer. Ukishem shalamala b'soyer achos, and just as there's one blood application lamala by the soyer, kach lamala bepar achos. So too, again, Rabbi said there is one blood application of the par lamala. So Rabbi said what comes out is something very interesting. What comes out is essentially, the Torah equates the two applications. And interestingly enough, one application is explicit by each carbon. So by the par, it is the applications below, the seven applications below that are explicit, but the application above is not. By the soyer, the application above is explicit, the ones below are not. And the Gemara creates a beautiful synergistic partnership between these two carbonos and says, Kashera sa dama par vis kash. I'm sorry, quoting the wrong pasuk. Thank you. Vasa stamo kasher asala dama par. The Gemara says this phrase is an all-inclusive phrase. And what this phrase does is link the two damim, link the two bloods intimately, that everything that applies to one will apply to the other. Therefore, we take the one blood application, lamala, that we know by the soyer, and apply it to the par. And therefore, I'm sorry, let's start backwards. We take the seven applications lamata that we know by the par and apply them by the sayer, and we take the one blood application lamala of the sayer and apply it to the par. Good. Says the Gemara Baiter. Achos, achos, viachos, achos, v'shtayim. So remember again, the Mishnah said that when the Kohen did the blood application, so what did he do? He went ahead, and remember, there's one, now we know, there's one lamala, sheva lamata. So what does he do? He counts them off. And he says one, achos, and then as he continues to do the sprinklings below, he says achos, achos viachos, achos ushtayim, meaning every single time he does a blood application below, he also remembers what? Or he also includes the blood application that was done above. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, achos, achos viachos, achos ushtayim, achos v'shalosh, achos v'arba, achos v'chamesh, achos v'sheish, achos v'sheva, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So we'll say Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, just like our Mishnah, just like our Mishnah, that how did the Kohen Gadol count? First he counted one for Lamala, and then one plus the sprinkling below. That's how he counted. Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, no, Achos. The first time he did the sprinkling Lamala, so he counts one. And then as he begins to count below, the first one is Achos V'Achos. The second one is Shtayim V'Achos, two and one. Third one is Shalosh V'Achos, Arba V'Achos, Chamesh va'achos, sheish va'achos, sheva va'achos. So we'll say, interesting enough, in Rabbi Yehuda's model, how is he counting? When he counts the lower sprinklings, so how is he counting? He first counts the number of the lower sprinkling, and then includes the achos, then includes the sprinkling above. And the Gemara says, the truth is, lo pligi, they're actually not arguing, mar ki asrei. The truth is, different people counted in different ways. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Mark Yasrei, but Asrei, Rabbi Meir, in the city of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that counting like our Mishnah, that when sprinkling below, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'shalosh. So what would happen? Monin minyan klal tekhila, v'achar kach prat. The way they would count, Rabbi Meir was how? They would include the klal, which normally, in this case, it would really mean the constant. The constant. Sometimes klal means the larger number, sometimes it means the constant. In this case, it means the constant. The constant in our case over here is what? The constant is the application above. That's the guy, because that's the one that doesn't vary anymore. That's locked in. So in Meir, the way they would count is they do the klal first. Va'achar kach prat, kigon esrim va'achos, esrim ushtayim. Uba'asrei Rabbi Yehuda, prat tchila, shtayim ve'esrim shalosh. So also, the Gemara just says there were different forms of counting. Therefore, again, people took their local forms of counting, and what did they do? They went and they applied it to the avodah of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, the kuli alma mihas hazo'ar rishona tzricha minyan im kol achas va'achos. So the Gemara says, what's interesting is the following. What does everybody agree on? Everybody agrees that you have to always count in the original hazo'ar lamala. The first sprinkling above. Remember, it says, my timer, why? Right? What's interesting is, we're arguing on the mechanics of the counting, but that presupposes everybody agrees that you have to do it. Why do you have to do it? Rabbi Elazar Omer, shelo yite bahazos. Rabbi Elazar says, very simple, we don't want you to get mixed up with the sprinklings. Because again, remember that there's a lot going on, as you've seen already from these Mishnayas, there's a lot going on in Yom Kippur. So we don't want the coin to get confused. So what do? We have him go ahead and constantly keep in mind the one that he did above. That way he'll remember that he did that one. And that's an easy way to keep track of his applications. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'lifnei kapores yazeh. Before the kapores, he will sprinkle. He will sprinkle. If you look at Rashi, I'll say just for a moment. Rashi says, Shelo yit'eh, sheyehelo shos ben sayim lo seis libo leminyan shelo yit'eh. What's interesting is the following. According to Rashi, the way he understands that you won't make a mistake is because he has to say achas before every sprinkling, it gives him like a moment to think about what number he's up to keep track. Rabbi Yochanan on the other hand says, it's a pasuk. The Torah says, v'lifnei kaporas yazeh. He will sprinkle, literally, he says, v'lifnei kaporas yazeh, sheva pamim. Now, both say, the word yazeh means sprinkle. You don't actually need that here. Because the way the pasuk reads is, v'lakach midam apar, v'hizah be'etzpa'o al p'nei kaporas kedma. The Torah says he'll take the dam of the par, and he will sprinkle it in front of the kaporas. The Torah could have just said, v'lifnei kaporas sheva pa'amim. And in front of the kaporas, another seven times. And I understand what that's referring to, because Torah would tell me they were talking about sprinkling. Why do you need this extra word yazeh? She'en tamud lomar yazeh. Uma tamud lomar yazeh. Why is it here? Limit al hazar rishona Shetzricha minyan imkol achas va'achas. This is very interesting. So Rabbi Yochanan understands that the extra word yazeh is there for what purpose? That you always have to keep in mind what? The original sprinkling. That as you sprinkle before the kaporis the extra seven times below the mala, yazeh, you must keep in mind that original hazaa as well. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, the pasuk itself tells me that I must make constant reference, yazeh, to the original hazaa of the one above. So we'll say, my binai will be gemara. So what's the practical difference between these two opinions? Meaning, at the end of the day, they're both saying you have to count. Okay, granted, the first opinion of Lazar is saying, in order that you not make a mistake. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, why? Because the pasuk tells me to do so. So what's the practical difference? Well, so this is very interesting. Ika benayhu delo mana velo ta. What's the practical difference? The practical difference is what happens if you didn't count, but you also didn't make a mistake. See, Rabbosai, if the Kohen Gadol didn't count according to Rabbi Lazar, then what?
He's fine.
Right? He's okay. Why? Because the whole point of counting is that you shouldn't make a mistake. So what's the ikker? Don't make a mistake. So as long as I didn't make a mistake, then what? I'm good. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the nature of the counting? It's a pasuk. It's a chiv. It's a biblical obligation. And as such, if you did not count, it could be that according to Rabbi Yochanan, what is the halacha? The avoda itself is deficient. And if the avoda itself is deficient, you literally have to apply the blood again, this time counting. Rabbi said, the Rambam Paskins, like Rabbi Elazar, that the idea of the counting is lamaisa in order that a person, the Kohen Gadol, should not make a mistake, and therefore in the event that the Kohen Gadol for some reason omitted the counting, but what? But did not make a mistake, lamaisa, again, that would be okay. Also, I just want to show you something interesting very quickly, because I don't have a lot of time for this. But just so you should know, this discussion is actually very lamaisa. This whole discussion of achas va'achas, achas u'shtayim, why? We'll say, listen to this. I would have made a copy of this, but I know we're not going to have time to do it inside. Because it's the Shiori Knesset HaGidolot brought down the Shulchan Aruch brings down the following case. How should we count Sfiras HaOmer? Right, remember, there are two ways you could count Sfiras HaOmer. You could say, for example, again, we got to take a higher number day. Let's take the 11th day. So we'll say, you could say again, Hayom Achadas Hayom, Sheheim, Arba'a yomim shavua echad laomer, or you could say his yom haschadah stays 11 days, which is shehim shavua echad, 1 week and 4 days. So do you say 1 week and 4 days, or 4 days and 1 week? And what's the answer?
One week.
Don't tell me what we do. I know. I'm not holding the sitter over here, right? So what's interesting is, so listen to this. Shiori Knesset HaGedolah brings down. He says that l'naisa, no matter how you count, it's okay. Why? Why? Because Rabbi Osai, the Gemara says over here, what? The Gemara quoted both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who counted in different ways. And what did the Gemara say? Markiasrei, umarkiasrei. That lamaisa, again, we see that no matter, and the Rambam codifies this as well, no matter how you counted, it's okay, because different people counted different ways. Therefore, says the Shiori Knesset HaGedolah something amazing. That lamaisa, although in the way that we count Sfiras HaOmer, we would say 11 days, that is 1 week and 4 days, because remember, both said we go more, we go like Rabbi Meir, that we put what we call the klal. We put the fixed number first and the variable number second, which the week is considered to be the fixed one. Lemaisa, if a person reversed it, and let's say today is 11 days, which is 4 days and 1 week, lemaisa, a person would still be Yotzei Sfiras HaOmer, would not need to repeat it again, even without a bracha. Why? Markiasrei. Because the Maisa, there are different forms of counting, and therefore, again, one could discharge the mitzvah either way. It's an interesting piece of halakha, the Maisa.
With the first part of Sfira, don't we do the other way? Shtayim v'esrei? Instead of esrei v'shtayim?
The first part of the Sfira, correct. So he actually brings that down, that Lamaisa, we see that we shift between klal uprat to prat uklal. Correct.
When
all right, just the sign.
One up and then two down, one up and three down. Each time there was a sprinkle, one
no,
up.
No. There was only one sprinkled up, and then you were done. It was just that during the subsequent seven sprinklings, you were mentioning the one lamala. Vaiter, yotzav inicho akana zav shabeichas. So we'll say, remember, what did the Gemara say? It's very exciting. Because now again, we're going through step by step of the avodah. So now the Gemara says, what happens? He does the blood sprinklings afterwards, and what does he do? He comes out. And I remember again, Rabbi said he's switching in between the blood of the par and the blood of the soyer. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that he would go ahead, and when he was finished, let's say with the blood of the par, he would place it on the kan hazad. There was a gold stand outside of the beis, outside of the kodesh kodashim. Remember again, Rabbi said, the kli shares, the utensil that actually held the blood, dafka, did not have a flat bottom. So there was no way to place it down somewhere. It didn't have a flat bottom purposely, because we actually, under normal circumstances, we don't want the coin to put down the blood, because then it could congeal. So we have, actually it has a pointed bottom. So, but at the same time, he's got to go back and forth with the blood. So they had a stand. So the Gemara says the following, Tanar Hasam, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo hayu shofros likinei chovra. We'll say a very interesting halacha. Going back to our Shkolim days, Rabbi Yehuda says there were no shofros. Shofros are the collection boxes in the Beis HaMikdash. There were no shofros for obligatory bird offerings. Okay, look at Rashi for just a moment. What are obligatory bird offerings? Rashi says, Lo hayu shofros l'kinei chova, shofar lo seis l'socho ma'os. There was no collection box to put money inside of it. Mi sha'alav kan chova shal zav, zava yoledes. So I'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda says there was no collection box for obligatory bird offerings. When would you have an obligatory bird offering? A person is a zav, a woman gives birth. Yoledes, these were obligatory bird offerings. There was no collection box. I'll say, what does that mean if there were no collection box for? It means that you had to buy. Remember, we spoke about the process in Shkolim, about how you would go ahead and get your token for your karbon, and you'd go and go to the kohen. So you couldn't, as opposed to other karbonos, you could just put the money in the collection box and go home, and the kohen will take care of it. Here, for kinei chovos, you had to go take care of it yourself, no collection box. Why? Bipnei atarobes. Because we are concerned that it would get mixed in with other things. My mipnei ta'arobes, Gemara says, what does that mean? What does it mean we get mixed in with other things? Amar Rav Yosef, mipnei ta'arobes chova b'nedava. Out of a concern that monies of obligatory bird offerings would get mixed in with monies of gift bird offerings. Look at Rashi. Mipnei ta'arobes chova b'nedava. Shama yischalif shofar b'shofar. Maybe the Kohanim will mix up the collection boxes. The Yakriv Mimaos Shofar Hachova Nidava Omishal Nidava Chova Vitipasa, because we also were concerned the coin might mix up the money in the collection boxes, and he'll end up offering some of the obligatory bird offerings as Nidava bird offerings, or vice versa. And here's the problem. Vitipasa Shachova Achas Lechatas Vachas Liola. When you bring an obligatory bird offering pair, one of those birds is a chatos, one of those birds is an ola. Any nidava bird offerings are all olos. If you offer an animal as an ola, it can't count as a chatos. If you offer an animal as a chatos, it can't count as an ola. So the concern over here is that if somebody were to deposit money for obligatory bird offering, the monies may get mixed up, and that which should be offered as a chatos will be offered as an ola, in which case, again, kapara, atonement for the individual, will be incomplete. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. I'm going to abaye. The na'avitre, what's the big deal? Make two separate collection boxes. The nichtov alayu hei dechov and hei dinadava. Why don't you just label them? Right? Again, what is the big deal over here? Especially, we'll say, if you take into account the fact Kohanim have a wonderful reputation of being zrizim, of taking their work very seriously. So just label the collection boxes as Shalom Yisrael. Rabbi, to which the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda, less like Siva. Oh, what do you see from here? That literally it means Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of writing. Rabbi said, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Less like Siva. Ein sumchin al kach tezimnin delava daiti le'yunibik sava. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that writing is enough of a safeguard measure. Rashi literally says, you can't rely on writing. Why? Because sometimes people don't pay attention to posted signs. Sometimes people don't pay attention to that which is writing, that which is written on the collection box. So I'll say, where do we know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't feel that writing is enough of an alert, that writing is enough of a reminder? Listen to this. Disnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, I remember the Mishnah said, that how many stands were there in the Beis HaMikdash for the blood? There were two stands, one for the blood of the par and one for the blood of the soyer. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, lo haya sham ela kan echad, and this is quoted in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, there was only one stand. Why? Bilvad. So the Gemara says, Trey, my time alone. Why wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda allow for two stands and make life so much easier? And we should also remember that we go out of our way to try to make the Kohen Gadol's life a little bit easier because he's working very hard. So why weren't there two stands? The Gemara says, oh, Mishum de Mechlefi. What are we concerned about, Rabbi Osai? Because you're going to mix it up. Because remember, then what's going to happen? You're going to have two stands that look the same, two klisharis that look the same, blood that looks the same. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to mix them up. So Mar says, I don't understand. V'navitre, v'lichto balayu, hey depar, v'hei desir. I have a great suggestion. Label them. Label them, right? You can even go ahead, you know, and you can have Dama Park, you know, dedicated by the Schwartzberg family. You know, you can, I'm saying you have donation opportunities here. You know, what? So make two.
The Gabbai's job.
The Gabbai, right? So make two. Everything's the Gabbai's job, right? So make two, and just label them to which you see. Eler Rabbi Yehuda less like Siva. Rather, I will say, what do you see from here? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kesiva, simply labeling something, is not enough of a reminder to make Rabbi Yehuda feel confident that people are going to avoid mistakes. So we'll say what comes out of here is the following. Therefore, the Maaser, remember, what the Gemara's point, the Gemara begins over here with a different discussion. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, they would not be a collection box for obligatory bird offerings. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is concerned they're going to get mixed up with the optional, the gift bird offerings, the nedavas. Why don't you just label them? Rabbi Yehuda holds labeling is not enough. Where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda's labeling is not enough? From our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, I only want one stand. Because if there are two stands, the coin might get mixed up between the Dama Par and the Dama Sar. I label the stands, Dama Par, Dama Sar. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even with labeling, people can make mistakes. Says the Gemara, Mesve. The Gemara now raises the Kasha. Rabbi Yehuda says, so the Gemara raises the Kasha now on the Kini, on the collection box case. Shlosh Esrei Shofros Hayu B'Mikdash. There were 13 collection boxes in the basement. So we had this already in Shkalim. Remember, again, these collection boxes don't look like your regular pushkin. We spoke about this before. They're called Shofros. Why? Because they were shaped like a shofar. They were wide on the bottom, narrow on the top. Why narrow on the top? Because that way you can put money in, but you can't put your hand in to take money out. And they were arranged in a circle. 13 Shofros that were in the basement of Mikdash. By your Kasev Aleihen. And they were labeled. What were they labeled? Tiklin, Charetin. Rabbi, remember, this is just a wonderful review. What does Tiklin Charetin mean? Right? Tiklin Charetin, remember from our Yerushalmi days, Nushkalim. Nushkalim, remember, refers to the half shekel of that year. Tiklin Atikin, right? What does Tiklin Atikin mean? Olshkalim. What does Olshkalim mean? Rabbi say, if you forgot to contribute your half shekel last year, oh no, lest you think that, I'm sorry, I missed last year. No, don't worry, you didn't miss last year. We know who you are. So, meaning you have to still contribute that half shekel. But remember, that old half shekel doesn't go into the regular half shekel pot. Because remember, the half shekel pot is what goes to purchase communal offerings. Last year's half shekel can't go to purchase this year's offerings. So remember, what does it go to purchase? Remember this? Keitz HaMizbeach. What does Keitz HaMizbeach mean? The dessert for the Mizbeach. What's the dessert for the Mizbeach? The olos, the carbonos that were offered. Remember, the Mizbeach was never dormant. So bless you. So there was like a rainy day fund for the Mizbeach. Whenever there was a dormancy on the Mizbeach, they brought out animals to offer up carbonos. That's called Ketz Mizbeach. Tiklin Atikin is fine. Kinin, the goes leola. There was a shofar, a collection box. For Kinin v'gozle ola, so I'll say we'll define what this is in just a little bit. Kinin actually means the doves. Gozle ola refers to the pigeon offerings. Eitzim, there was a collection box for Eitzim. Eitzim also refers to those who wanted to donate wood, or the value of wood, for the ma'aracha, for the pyre of the Mizbeach. Levona, frankincense. Zohav likfores. So we'll say Zohav means those who wanted to go ahead and donate money for the gold to coat the utensils. And Shishin Linadava. And there were six other ones that were set aside for Nadava, that were set aside for, you know, if a person wants to give a gift offering. Tiklin Charetin, what does it mean, Nushkalim? Elu Shkalim Shakol Shana Vashana. Tiklin Atigin, because you know what, actually, we're going to stop over here for today. We'll stop over here. It's okay. Don't get nervous, because tomorrow you'll notice Amad Aleph is two lines. So we don't have to rush today. So Mirat Hashem will pick up right over here with this price on Mirat Hashem tomorrow. Again, remember, tomorrow's back to regular schedule. Thus, Atzmacha is at 5:45. Daf Yomi begins at 6 o'clock. Good Chodesh.